God's awesome. Not saying it. How many knows how hot it is today? That's right. Yeah, I was riding down 17 today, or 33, excuse me, 33. Right now, 33, I saw two hound dogs chasing a rabbit, and they were all three walking. That's hot. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Well, Stephen got his first chance to be at Pitt Detention Center this week, and he survived. Praise God. Saul's going to have to rescue him a couple of times, but he did all right. Yeah, those guys have contacts on the outside too. I did happen to run into a guy in Walmart the other night, and he said, he was at the other end of the aisle, and he said, "Don't you remember me?" And I said, "Oh, not really." I said, "Let me get a little closer." So I got a little closer where I could see him good, and I said, "I still don't necessarily recognize you." He said, "We sang together in Greenville." And I said, "We sang together in Greenville. Does he mistake me for somebody in the club?" And I said, "I'm still not sure what you're talking about." I said, "Man, you hurt my feelings." And I'm thinking, huh? He looks over at Beth and says, "This is the craziest white man I've ever been with." I said, "Okay, now we're getting in the right direction. Okay, I know he knows me now, okay." And then he says, "Well, last time you saw me, I was in Greenville. I was not wearing this." Then I realized he's talking about he was at Pitt Detention Center. And it's like you and me, Doug, went in and were singing all over the place. They're going to kick us out of there. He just said, "I want you to know that y'all guys, us, getting the team, make such a big difference. It made a difference in my life." And he said that I'm going to stay out this time. I said, "Well, when you go back with the right intention to be on the outside talking to the guys on the inside." He said he planned on it. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We'll just start at verse 33. 33. 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Children, y'all already dismissed children's church, aren't you? Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. Acts chapter 4, stand for the reading of the word. Acts chapter 4. God is awesome. All the time. I'm telling you, if he gets any better to me, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I see his hand protecting. I see his hand guiding. And I thank him for it. It's not always the way I like it. But you know what? My daddy used to tell me, "It ain't what you want, son. It's what Santa Claus brings you." He used to tell me I'd ask for things. He would tell me, "Well, Santa Claus must have fell out the sleigh on the way to the house," or he'd already give them all out when they got to our house. He wouldn't tell me he was cheap. My daddy bought a canary, and he was so cheap he didn't go chirp chirp. He went cheap cheap. He used to buy shoestrings one at a time. Ready? All right, here we go. Acts chapter 4, verse 3. Pray for my dad. He's having a heart cath Tuesday in Greensboro, and they're not sure what's going on with his heart. It's just not pumping right. Of course, this was happening before he tried to cut his thumbs off, and so now trying to cut his thumbs off haven't helped anything, but the doctor says that hopefully this is going to show them what's going on, because one side's not beating like the other side, and so it's trying to get it all together in rhythm. Maybe he needs a new timing belt. I'm not sure. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who also by apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. Father, we thank you, God, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that we need or nothing, Lord, that comes into our life, Lord, that you cannot handle. Anything that we have a problem with, God, we can bring it to you. You might not handle it the way we like it or handle it on the same timing that we had got, but we know, Lord, that you were there for us, and we thank you for it. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to know that you're there for us, God, and that you want to work in our behalf. And I ask you to let this word go through and let it be powerful in the name of Jesus. We love you. We thank you for it. And the church said, amen. On the way down, shake somebody's hand and say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. God's awesome! Today we're going to talk on rubbing people the right way. Amen. Rubbing people the right way. You know, there was this man went to the doctor. He hadn't been feeling so well. So he goes to the doctor and he has a complete checkup. Afterwards, the doctor comes out with the results. And the doctor says, I'm afraid I have some very bad news. You're dying and you don't have much time left. Oh, that's terrible, said the man. Give it to me straight. Doc, how long have I got? 10, says the doctor sadly. 10, the man asked. 10 what? 10 months? 10 weeks? 10 what? And the doctor says, 9. He was not going to make it out of the office. Amen. So he definitely did not get rubbed the right way. There was not some encouraging words there. Rubbing people the right way. You know, God's got a special call in our lives. He's called all of us to rub people the right way. Let me just, I'm going to give some stuff, and then I'm going to go into rubbing the right way. Just don't pay attention to the EGR up there yet. I just want you to see EGR. If you ever heard me say EGR and didn't know what I was talking about, you will know what I'm talking about before this day's over with. Matter of fact, you will know within a minute when you hear me say EGR what I'm talking about. Have you ever met somebody that just rubbed you the wrong way? Do not point. Amen. Have you ever, you know, it's like I was sitting by a lady at the doctor's office and I noticed she had her wedding band on the wrong hand. I said, ma'am, do you realize you got your wedding band on the wrong hand? She said, yeah. She said, I married the wrong man. Okay, so have you ever met somebody that just rubbed you the wrong way? I mean, they may not even mean to rub you the wrong way. They may not even try to rub you the wrong way. And many times they don't even realize they're rubbing you the wrong way. But the problem is they still rub you the wrong way. Amen? Now, there are also, and EGR means extra grace required. When somebody rubs me the wrong way, instead of just getting up and walking out, or especially if I'm trying to get information from the person, I'm at a doctor's office or something, and the doctor's that way. You know, I happened to see a retired doctor the other day at Pew's Tire, and I walked up to him, and I said, you're the doctor that fixed my belly. He said, yep, I sure am. And we got talking, and I said, are you staying busy? He said, I retired. And I said, I hate to hear that. He said, well, I failed to hurt my arm, and now I can't use my arm right, and so surgery was out of the question. And I said, I just want to thank you for something. He says, well, I said, whenever you came into the room to talk to me, you always treated me like you actually wanted to hear what I had to say. And you sat down and paid attention to what I had to say. And you didn't just look off into outer space somewhere. I was writing stuff down and didn't hear a word I said. He said, well, that's what I always tried to do. I said, well, thank you, because there's so many people that do not do that. Amen. Even people that you work with. Amen. So when you get around these people, it's extra grace required. You just say, Lord, I may do this sometimes to people not even realize. I may be having a bad day. Somebody just sent me a horrible text. I'm trying to respond to a horrible text. And I went from having a good time to a bad time because now I'm trying to help. And as a counselor, I get all grades of text, all times, all grades during the day, and then church folk and family. And so there's always stuff coming in. And it seems like every time I turn around, I'm helping somebody through a situation. So E-G, y'all say it, E-G-R, say it, extra grace required. Okay, so now there are those who rub people the right way. They're encouragers. Okay? Now, these people are awesome people. I would like to be able to say, and you've got to say it too, I'd like to be able to say that everybody that's in the sound of my voice today, you are not an EGR, but you're an encourager. Amen? You spend your time trying to help people. See, those who rub people the right way, they're people who give encouragement. And one such person was Joseph. They said, Joseph. Joseph, now, he was an awesome dude, you know. We always talking about good old Joes. Well, I'm pretty sure that the good old Joe here, he was awesome because he sold his land and he gave it. Of course, all that they did when everybody sold all their possessions and gave it, what they wound up doing was bankrupting Jerusalem. So God didn't call everybody to sell everything they got and just give it all away, but God has called us when we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen? And so we got to be a blessing with what God's blessed us with. And you say, well, God, I wish you'd bless me more. Then you bless others more, and God will bless you more. The deal is, whatever shovel you use to pour out the blessing, God uses a bigger shovel to pour blessings back to you. Amen? So somebody might even call him good old Joe. And disciples, they gave him a new name. This is what the disciples called him, Barnabas, son of encouragement. So from the life and the ministry of Barnabas, we can learn how to rub people the right way. How many want to be able to rub people the right way? Amen. You want to be able, when people see you coming in the room, they don't hide. You know, you're in Walmart, and you see somebody coming down the other end of the road, and you say, oh, God, I hope they ain't seen me yet. And you go and hide in the frozen peas. Amen. What's bad is when you see them, you go, oh, no, if I get real fast, I can catch them. I'll miss them. And I go 3 aisles down, and I'll go down the third aisle. There they are. And they go, have you got a minute? And I'm thinking, yeah, I got a minute, but this ain't going to be a minute. Amen. My wife told me that she was actually going to put a bag on my head when we go into Walmart so people can't see me. Yeah. Daniel shaking his head. Yeah. I was trying to get to Daniel Friday night at the summer festival, and I got stopped. He was already gone by the time Bethany got there. I didn't know somebody was watching me. When they got through, as I got past him, they said, are you the mayor or something? And I said, no. Why? She said, because you got stopped every step. I said, well, you just know people, and you try to rub people the right way. Amen? Okay. So here we go. Now, here's Barnabas now. This is a good man. He's an encourager, but in order to be an encourager, you got to want to be an encourager. You just don't step up and now you're an encourager, although some have the gift of encouragement. Even if you don't work it and learn about it, you still may not live to your full potential. Let's look at Joseph or Barnabas. He was a Levite from Cyprus. So Barnabas had a godly background. He wanted to please God, and he was determined to make a difference. Now, let me ask you a question. Maybe everybody in here does not have a godly background, but everybody in here ought to seek to please God. Not only do we seek to please God, but we ought to be determined to make a difference. So Barnabas, by his sacrificial giving, He encouraged the early church. He made a difference, and God used him greatly. That was awesome what God did with this man, because he knew he wanted to be an encourager. How many want to be an encourager? Raise your hand. Look around. Look at all the people who want to be an encourager. Amen. We want to be an encourager. Amen. So watch this. So discouragement. That is something that is around today. I'm in the middle of trying to get another degree in counseling, and I'm going to tell you, I can't get it fast enough, because it seems like constantly discouragement has overtaken so many people. To discourage means to dishearten, to depress the spirit of, to lack confidence, that which destroys or abates courage. I see it all the time. I see people that one time had just stood up and would not back down, and now they're backing down at the least little thing. There's times they would stand up even when they didn't know how the outcome was going to be. You can count on me. I'm ready. And now the least little thing, because you're discouraged, because you got whapped, you got hurt. You know, the common causes of discouragement is personal failure, continued battle, continued unanswered prayers, emotional strain, physical illness. Not understanding that God already knows what you're going to go through, because God already knows what you're going to go through, that he's already provided a way. And so whatever happens to us, remember this. It's not, let me get you to think about something. It's not happening to you, is happening for you. Wow, that's a hard one. Let me do it again. When you're going through something that seems to be dragging you down, and you're going through something, you're thinking, Lord, how much longer? Remember this. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you. And God can work through you afterwards. Make sense? So some of the worst things I've ever gone through in my life, I hated going through it, but at the same time, it's some of the greatest times in the Lord because God did something great in my life. Now, remember this now. Usually, discouragement comes just before God is going to do something great in your life. Never fails. If you're discouraged right now, go ahead and get ready. Go ahead and start thanking God, because if you're discouraged right now, that means God is getting ready to do something. Satan knows it. He's got wind of it. He sniffs it. And so now he's doing his best. He'll use Christians. He'll use non-Christians. He'll use your family. He'll use your spouse. He'll use your kids, whoever, your neighbor. He'll do his best to discourage you so that you will not be in the right direction, or you will not be with your hands raised waiting to receive. Instead, you will be thinking that everything is going to be far apart. Now to be discouraged is very dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. I want y'all to listen carefully now. This is some heavy-duty stuff. This is right down where the rubber meets the road. This will take you farther than you ever imagined. To be discouraged, you make the wrong decisions. You say things you don't mean. You do things that you will later regret. Discouragement is costly. Very costly. I've seen people do things. I've done things like this. I get discouraged. I make a rash decision. I get discouraged, and I don't look at the big picture. And so I don't look at the big picture. I get discouraged. And so then I pull the plug too early, or I pull the trigger too soon. You got to remember, I like this, although it doesn't look too good. I really like this. Look. Not that. How many ever felt like that? Yeah, amen. Billy Graham was talking one day. Billy Graham, if I say Benjamin Franklin said it, people listen. If I say Abraham Lincoln said it, people listen. But now Billy Graham said it, people listen. Church people listen and say Billy Graham said it. Billy Graham can say, put the lime in the coconut and shake it all up, and say, Billy Graham said that. So y'all be walking around going, put the lime in the coconut and shake it. Billy Graham said that. Billy Graham said, God never uses a discouraged Christian. He must change him first, then use him. Wow. In order for God to use you, he's got to do some work. Because if you're discouraged, remember, you're making the wrong decisions. You may say the wrong things. You're doing things in the wrong way. And of course, a lot of people, including yourself, will get hurt. Amen? So here we go. Here we go. Let's take a little ride. Encouragement. How many want to be picking people up like that? Amen? Encouragement. There's a difference. Listen carefully. That there's a difference in teaching. It's different from teaching or correction. Teaching and correction is aimed at educating, but encouragement is aimed at strengthening. There's so many people want to go along and say, well, if they just knew, so I'm just going to fill their head full of education and they'll get filling it. No. There's times I don't need a teacher. Most of the time, people already know. You know, I can go to Pitt Detention Center and I can say, well, you know, if you hadn't done this, you wouldn't have been in there. Give us some more news. Well, if you hadn't have been so rowdy, they wouldn't have locked you up. Well, if you hadn't have stole this, or if you hadn't have shot that person, you wouldn't be here. They know that. We don't go there to educate them in the legal system. We go there to strengthen them, to lift them up. The guards tell us all the time, and even the lieutenant and the captain will come up and say, you know something? Say, after your guys leave, every time, after your guys leave, we have peace on the blocks that they visited. We have peace for the rest of the night. Wow. Even when they're having a bad day, when they're having a rough time, said, when your guys come and they go out and do their thing for the Lord, says every time there's peace, in the valley for the rest of the night. Wow, that's awesome. You say we're not just hanging in there just to be doing something so we can go get some donuts. Amen. The donuts are encouraging to me afterwards. Yes, sir, I'm sure they're encouraging. Amen. Now, we got some. Now, that's because of Krispy Kreme, the best donut in the world, according to some people. Okay. So now, Hebrew. Encouraging means to fasten oneself so as to strengthen, to cure, to help, to repair, or to fortify. Got nothing about teaching there. Look. An encourager fastens himself or herself to another person, providing support and strength for the other. So when you think about it that way, this is a worthy ministry that everybody can do. You don't have to have, you could have more degrees than a thermometer and not be an encourager. I've seen people, have you ever seen doctors that had all these big old degrees, but they just seem to have a high case of loss? And you see these other doctors, they come along and they just seem to know what to do all the time. The same way, there's some guys that are counselors, they get talking and Lord knows, you know, wow, yeah, I'm glad I'm not going back to see them again because Lord knows they made me feel bad. Now, then there's others you go to and say, man, I just felt good just being around there. You've been around Christians that you just like being around because not because you just have things that are alike, but just their attitude. So let me tell you something about your attitude. Your attitude will create an atmosphere. Listen carefully. That's why people can see it before they get there. Most people can see your attitude before they get there. Because your attitude creates an atmosphere. And most of the time when people leave you or walk away from you or don't want to be around you, they haven't left you. They've left your atmosphere. Wow. There's sometimes people I like to be around them. I just love being around these people. And then sometimes they're having a bad attitude. And I see that bad attitude. I find any way I can to get out of there. I'm not leaving the person. I'm leaving the atmosphere. Because the atmosphere does not feel good. Amen? So see, the Bible says, about rubbing people the right way, iron sharpens iron. So friends sharpen friends. I'm almost through. I'm trying to encourage you that I'm not going to take this long. Maybe. Okay. So now, if you're going to be an encourager, you've definitely got to determine that you want to be an encourager. Amen? So how can you be an encourager? I remember hearing Charlie Brown rest his head in his hands while leaning on a wall looking miserable, and his friend Lucy approaches. Remember her psychiatric blue 5 cents? For psychiatric help. So his friend Lucy approaches and she says, "Discouraged again, huh, Charlie Brown?" Charlie Brown doesn't even answer. "You know what your trouble is," Lucy said, without waiting for a response, she announces, "The whole trouble with you is that you are you." Wow, can you encourage me anymore? Oh, look at that, you're doing great. Look at somebody tell them, "You're doing great." Hey, man, I thought that was an encouraging picture. That's why I put it up there. Have you ever tried to encourage anybody like that? Yeah. My daddy said, "You better smile, boy, or I'll put something on you to make you smile." Oh, really? Oh, that's going to make me smile? A 40-inch leather belt's going to make me smile? Yeah. Okay, so watch this. Here we go. You want to be an encourager. Here's how it goes. First, if you're going to be an encourager, encouragers must first be encouraged in God personally. You got to have a strong heart and a strong spirit. You got to have energy in your battery enough to jump somebody else's battery. Yet you must receive from God so that you can pour it out. The problem is we're trying to pour it out and we're not letting God pour it in us. You got to let God pour it in you first. You know, whether you like him or not. And I have mixed emotions about the guy, too, and that's Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali he called himself the greatest, and for the longest time, he was the greatest. He caused a lot of stir when he decided not to be drafted, and then he caused more stir when he switched over to Islam and all this stuff, and so I'm not going into all that. I just want to talk about his boxing. The man was awesome, okay? He was absolutely awesome. And let me tell you this about him. He died last week. Y'all remember that? He died. And when he died, a week before last, he died. His funeral was last week. when he died, his daughter said that his, because he's a fighter, he had Parkinson's disease. He wound up doing all things to help people with Parkinson's disease. Even he lit the Olympic torch when it was in the USA. He was just an awesome man as far as Olympics go and as far as athletes go. And just something she said struck me. His daughter said that when he died, she was at his side and said every organ shut down before he died, but his heart. Said his heart beat for 30 minutes after everything else had shut down. You know what? That's the kind of heart I want. You know what I'm saying? That everything can be falling around me. Things can fall down everywhere. But an encourager, they keep heart. They stay strong in this thing. They don't worry about every little thing that's coming their way. And also, an encourager must look for opportunities to encourage. There are too many are self-centered or always concerned about themselves. I like what Joyce Myers does. Joyce Myers gets down here, and she does this thing. Have y'all seen her do this? She goes, she says, like a wind-up doll. She goes, what about me? 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 Y'all see her do that? Every time I see her do that, I say, I got some people that you can wind up like that. What about me? What about me? What about me? Amen. So it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about you. God's called me to encourage you. And it's not about you. God's called you to encourage us. It's about us as a family. Amen. And so then, here we go. Encouragers must take time out for others. You know, it's come alongside the person and get on their level. You know, I know y'all guys have had it happen to you too. I had no idea who that guy was that stopped me in Walmart, because when I saw him in Pitt Attention Center, he was wearing an orange suit. Not only was he wearing an orange suit, he did not have, he had some dreadlocks put in, and he'd grown a beard. So I had no idea who this guy was. I saw his eyes, and his eyes looked familiar. That's it. But he remembered me, and he wanted to stop and tell me how much it meant to him for us to be there. And I've had it happen time and time and time again. Because you know what? When you go in that place, you're definitely getting down on the level they think they're at. And they said nobody wants to see them or hear from them. Amen? So now, one more thing. Encouragers must use words of faith to build up others. Words of approval, words of love, words of acceptance and praise. You know, we can never underestimate the power of our words. Have you ever opened up your mouth and it's coming out, you wish you could suck those words right back in? You know, it's called, it's a bad disease. It's called constipation of the brain, diarrhea of the mouth. Amen. Your brain's constipated, but your mouth just keeps flowing. Amen. So let your words be words of encouragement. Amen. So now I'm gonna just go kind of quickly through here. Amen. You know, watch this. If you're gonna be an encourager, here's what you gotta do. I'm just gonna talk about him just for a minute, Barnabas. Just a few things about Barnabas, and then we're gonna go. All right. Paul was fully committed to destroying the church. He hated the church. He supervised Stephen's stoning, and on the way to Damascus to do even more harm, Jesus confronted him and knocked him off his high horse. Well, after he gets knocked off his high horse, he gets transformed, and he starts preaching in synagogues that Jesus had risen. You would think, wow, everybody's happy because Saul of Tarsus is saved. No. He was so mean and caused so much problems and caused so many families to be divided and so many homes destroyed and so many people to be put to death that when he got saved, they thought it was just some kind of tactic to get in and hurt more people. That's bad, isn't it? So Paul's life was threatened. They had to let him down in a basket through the wall, and the disciples would not accept Paul as a true believer, so Barnabas comes along. And Barnabas befriends him. He looked for the best in him. You see, and he tried to tell everybody else he's okay. So to start with, the only person that even believed in him was Barnabas. And the Bible tells us, you know, Barnabas is like the rest of the encouragers. They don't look at your past. They think about your future. I tell guys all the time, there'll be guys in there, and they'll tell me, paying attention, they'll go, man, I really don't want to be doing this. And if I could, I would be out there helping you. You know what I tell them? Every time. You get yourself right, go through your probation period that you got to have before you can get over on this side with us. And I said, when you get over here, you ask for me, because we can use you. And usually, 9 out of 10 times, tears come in their eyes. Because they say, you can use us? Yes, we can use you, because you got a story to tell that I can't tell. You know, how many remember Billy Martin? Billy Martin was fired from his job from the New York Yankees 5 times. I mean, he just was always getting fired. Billy Martin was something. He was a great manager, but he couldn't manage himself. And wherever he went, Martin caused problems. And he was involved in several bar fights, and his fist fights were often reported in the sports section of the newspapers. And so sports writer Jim Murray said of Martin, some people have a chip on their shoulder. Said Billy has the whole lumber yard. Okay? You see, it's important. We need to look for the best. Never look down on somebody unless you're helping them up. Look for the best in others. Watch this. Barnabas didn't look at what Paul had done. He looked at what Paul could do. Man, what could this guy do if he would just let God take care of it? Some people seem to look for the worst in people. Have you ever seen those kind of people? I have some people, they're dead and gone now, but I have some people in my family that were like that. Man, they looked for the worst in people. It just didn't matter what was going on. I believe if Billy Graham and the Pope would have come and stepped on the front door, they'd have had a problem with both of them. Always looking for the worst in people. You see, let me tell you a little story here. Let me tell you a little secret. Don't get mad. I'm just a delivery boy. Okay, y'all like to say, don't get mad, he's a delivery boy. Okay, get ready. Often how a person sees others is a reflection of how they see themselves. Often how people see others is a reflection. I told you, it's like that weren't fun. A reflection of how they see themselves. Matter of fact, watch this. Listen carefully. If I am a trusting person, I'll see people as trustworthy. I'll let this sink in for a while. If I'm a trusting person, I'll see others as trustworthy. If I'm not a trusting person, usually somebody just got out of a bad relationship, whether they're male or female, once they begin to get another relationship, it may be 2, 3, 4, 5 relationships down the road before they can ever trust somebody in a relationship again. You know, if your good friend betrayed you, or somebody in church betrayed you, or somebody wherever, pretty soon you'll find that you're going to have a hard time trusting anybody for a while. So a trusting person, if I'm a trusting person, remember, how I see others is usually a reflection of how I see myself. If I'm a trusting person, then I'm going to trust others. If I'm a critical person, and I'm going to see others as critical. Man, oh, man. I know some of these. Do y'all know some of them? Amen. And then, finally, if I'm a caring person, I'll see others as compassionate. Again, this is like Billy Martin. Some people have the habit of rubbing people the wrong way. Some don't have a chip on their shoulder. Some have the whole lumber yard. Amen. So now, get ready. Getting close. I hope this isn't rubbing you the wrong way. That's Sherry. She told me she had to go anyway. She said, I'm leaving early, so don't think that you're rubbing me the wrong way. Oh, okay. You gave me a calendar. Oh, that rubbed me the wrong way. I'm playing. That's fine. I'm cutting up with you. Get ready. Here we go. So I see it. Y'all get ready. I'm almost through. I'm telling you, I ain't got but 20 more slides. Remember, this is the king saying, y'all try to see things from my point of view. If you want to, and again, I'm not going to take time out to read the scriptures. You can read them if you want to. If you want to be an encourager, you got to start trying to see things from others' point of view. We're good about our point of view. The only problem is that we're thinking about our point of view only. See, whatever I do, I know my intention. I know what it is. Good or bad, pretty or ugly, I know my intention. Whatever I do. But no matter what you do, I honestly don't know your intention. So here's what we do. We judge others by their actions, and we judge ourselves by intention. And by doing that, guess what happens? We stay in a circle of turmoil because we see our intentions, their actions, and now we're ready to duke it out and not realize that they're seeing you by your actions, not their intentions, and vice versa. And you just got to push me, pull you going here. And nothing's ever happening correctly. So watch this. Barnabas believed in giving people a second chance. You see, he had the grace of gift and mercy. John Mark, Paul, got a bad taste in his mouth for John Mark. He got such a bad taste in his mouth for John Mark that he said he ain't going with us on the next missionary journey. He is not going with us. And Barnabas said, yeah, we are. He goes, no, we're not. He says, yes, we are. So Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. You see, John Mark was actually his nephew. His cousin. So he would do everything he can. Colossians 4:10 tells you it's his cousin. He would do all he could to help John Mark. You see, Paul believed that John Mark had wimped out when the going got tough, and he said, dude, I don't need wimps helping me. And so he was opposed. So opposed that it caused strife between him and Barnabas, the guy that had been there for him, the guy that had done something for him. But Barnabas saw something in Mark that Paul didn't see. I want y'all to hold on to that. Paul disliked Mark so bad that he did not want him with him again. Just, I don't want him in the ministry with me. I don't want to be around him. I don't want to see him. Barnabas comes along and says, it's not as bad as you think. Yes, it is. No, it's not. And so they get such a tension there. They say, okay, then you want him, you take him. You see, now let me tell you something about John Mark. John Mark, y'all might not know this. Of course, if you've been here for any length of time, I've preached it anyway. John Mark, there was something special about him. Later, watch this, seeing others' perspective, it looks like a 6-1 and a 9 to the other. See it? Later, John Mark worked with the Apostle Peter. And the book of Mark, if you want to know the truth about the book of Mark, it was written by John Mark, the guy that Paul would have nothing to do with. It was written by John Mark, and it wasn't that John Mark was there per se, it's that he worked with Peter, and the Apostle Peter gave John Mark what happened in the life of Jesus. So the book of Mark could be called the Gospel of Peter. Was the Gospel of Mark. And the reason it's the Gospel of Mark is because Peter, who he was a wild man, he believed in John Mark. He took John Mark. He told him all about Jesus, carried him all around with him. He ministered with him. And so he wrote the book of Mark. Wow, it's amazing how Paul didn't want to have anything to do with it. The greatest apostle ever lived said, I ain't going to have anything to do with that wimp. Nothing. I don't want to be around him. And guess what? Better be careful what you say. And sometimes those words go down a little harder than they did coming out. Because you see, later, when Paul is locked up, he said, I need you to bring me this, my cloak and my coat, and bring me the parchments that brings me comfort. And he says, look at this. I love this. He says, oh, yeah. While you're at it, go get Mark. Wait a minute. That's the one that caused him and Barnabas not to even be together. That's the one that caused so much stir. That's the one that caused so much stink, to be a southern expression. And now you want me to bring him? He says, yes, because he is helpful in my ministry. Wait a minute. How can this be? It's because of Barnabas. Barnabas, everybody could have written that boy off. He could have gone the other way. He could have quit serving God. But instead, Barnabas looked for the best in people and looked at other people's perspective. You know what? We may not see eye to eye, but that should not keep us from continuing to go forward in the Lord. Amen? Somebody say amen. Y'all getting quiet. I'm almost through. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to rub you the right way. So look, Barnabas felt so strongly about John Mark that he was willing to overlook his youthful mistake and give him a second chance. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that never gives up on us? Thank God he didn't give up on me. Wow. There's times I'm just surprised Jesus didn't go, zzz, zzz. You know, God's good like that, amen? Regardless of the times you fail, Jesus is there willing to give you another chance, amen? And so let's get ready to move on. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you a little instruction here. We all need Barnabases in our life to help us when we're not up to par, amen? So here we go. Encourager survival kit. How many's ever heard of this? An encouragement survival kit. Here's what you need. I want you to go home and make you a bag, and I want you to put these in your bag. I've started to make some for everybody, but I didn't know how many to make. And plus, this one I was praying about and didn't get this to yesterday, so it was too late anyway. So y'all want to go home and make this, write this down so you can remember. Everybody needs to get a little tool kit, a little box, a bag, and put this in it. Ready? Number one, I want you to put a toothpick in your little bag. Why? To remind you to pick out the good qualities in others. Also to remind you, get the pole out of your eye, the telephone pole out of your eye before you pick the toothpick out of your brother's eye. I just threw that in there. That's a freebie. Toothpick, remind you to pick out the good qualities in others. Number two, a rubber band. A rubber band is there to remind you to be flexible. Things might always go the way you want, but it will always work out if you trust God. Number three, I want you to put a Band-Aid in it. Amen? To remind you to heal hurt feelings, yours and someone else's. A verbal wound is as bad as a physical wound. Everybody, when you walk around, you got a bucket of gas and a bucket of water. Everybody. In certain situations, they need to be fired up. You need to throw gas on it. Others need to be calmed down. You need to throw water on it. The problem is, if you're not an encourager, when it needs water, you throw gas. When it needs gas, you throw water. An encourager knows when to throw. You know, I heard of an optometrist who fell into his lens grinder. He made a spectacle of himself. All right. Next, put a pencil to remind you to list your blessings every day. Put your eraser in it to remind you that everyone makes mistakes and that's okay. I mean, here doesn't make mistakes. We'll let that be. Number six, some chewing gum. To remind you to stick with it and that you can accomplish anything. Number seven, a mint. To remind you that you're worth a mint. Amen. You're worth a lot. Number eight, a candy kiss. To remind you that everyone needs a kiss or a hug every day. And then finally, a tea bag. To remind you to relax daily and reflect on all the positive things in your life. Encouragers are a very rare jewel. They make you smile. They encourage you to succeed. They lend an ear. They share a word of praise. They always are open their hearts to you. Wow. An encourager. You know, a lot of times we call encouragers friends. Amen. One more and then we're going to go. Y'all guys get ready. Play something. Never look down on someone unless you're helping them up again. I had it earlier, but listen. If you want to rub people the right way, friend sharpens a friend. Determined to be an encourager. Be interested in others. Believe in their potential. As hard as it is, try to see things from their perspective. That last one, or those last two, have been really cool. I was always interested in people, but once I started believing in their potential, I didn't give up on them. And once I started trying to see things from their perspective, they helped me to understand that although they might not change my mind about the situation, they'll change my mind about them in that situation because I understand where they're coming from. God wants all of us to be like Barnabas. Amen. like Muhammad Ali. Everything shut down, but he wouldn't die because his heart just wouldn't quit. Wow. Everybody, let's stand. God wants and needs us to be encouragers. God also wants us to reach out. Remember, to be an encourager is more than just saying, I want to be an encourager. You got to be encouraged yourself. Remember David and Ziklag? His guys, when they come back, he was fighting for the enemy. They had messed up. They're fighting for the enemy. And while they're fighting for the enemy, some more enemy comes and takes their families away. And the guys weep until they can't weep anymore. Now they're ready to stone David. They're ready to take him down. And the Bible says everything turned around when David encouraged himself in the Lord. Once he turned around, encouraged himself, they went back and recovered all. Got everything back, and within a matter of a few days, he was king of Israel. Of Judah, I mean. Later of Israel, too. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and you would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I can't be encouraged in him anymore because I'm not a part of his family. I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I want to because I need that encouragement. But nobody looked around, every eye closed. Would you just stick up that hand and say, pray for me. I need Jesus. I need it. If you're here right now and you would say, I'm not where I used to be. And I want to be an encourager, but I need encouragement. And I want to get back where I belong with God. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you raise that hand so I just need to get closer? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, let them know that you got something special in store for them. That discouragement comes just before something good. Let them know that this discouraging time is going to be very powerful on the other end if they just give it to God. Maybe you're here and you just need encouragement. You just need encouragement. Right now, the altars are going to be open. The altars are open. You can come and pray. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray, all that will. Come and pray. Come and pray. God's called us to be encouragers. God's called us to make differences in people's lives. But we got to let him make a difference in our life first. God, let me be a Barnabas. Let me be a Barnabas. We think about how awesome Paul was. But you know what? There wouldn't have been a Paul without a Barnabas. We read the book of Mark all the time, and we don't realize there may not have been a book of Mark if there had not been a Barnabas. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Barnabas. Some even think that maybe Barnabas was the one that wrote the book of Hebrews. God, let me be an encourager. Let me be an encourager. Let me be an encourager. Let me make a difference in people's lives. And know that anytime I get discouraged, anytime, it's on the eve of a breakthrough. Satan wants to stop the breakthrough. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory! 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 Take away my key in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Your ear. Y'all, let's sing that. And I lift my voice, worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. God, I want to be an encourager, don't you? God, remember, think about it. Without Barnabas, there may not have been a Paul. Without Barnabas, there wouldn't have been a Mark. And between Mark and Paul, they wrote well over three quarters of the New Testament. Wow. So Barnabas's autograph may not be at the end of all those books, but Barnabas's fingerprints are everywhere. Wow. That's awesome. Come back Tuesday night. We're talking about our identity. We've been talking about grief. Now we're going to talk about identity, who we are in Christ. First, I'm going to talk about different types of identity. So, because Linda even asked a very good question. So we're going to start with her question, and then we're going to move into who we are in Christ. And so it's Tuesday night. We've been having a wonderful time. You can stop and ask questions. I just get up here and sit down, and we talk. And I'll give you outlines, and we go through the outline. But if you want to stop and talk, we stop and talk. And so Tuesday night's been very very educational, because I've had people tell me, we went, I think, 6 weeks on suicide prevention, and people were using it to help friends and help people that they knew, and on grief, and they've helped others and even helped themselves. And so this stuff is good stuff, real good stuff. So now it's our identity in Christ. And so when you walk out, I want you to say, Lord, help me to rub people the right way. Amen. Help me to rub them. I was like, we represent the Lollipop Guild. I remember those guys. All right, God's awesome. Y'all see if y'all can't stay cool today. Because it's hot. Just in case you didn't know already.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time we've come to share together and hear your word, and we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for putting people in our lives to encourage us. We pray that we would be encouragement to others. Lord, lead, guide, guard, and direct us in all that we do. And may we be joyful in our walk with you. And bring us back to the next appointed time. In Jesus Christ, we come to pray. Amen.